Okay.
Good?
I'm glad I didn't get you. I'm glad. It would have been so fun. Phone's on silent.
Okay. I never check my phone.
What? No, no, it's not silent.
Always. Do not disturb. Never goes turned off. That's why I couldn't hear Tom's like calling me.
Dude, I got locked out last night and no one was picking up their phone.
Oh, mine's on do not disturb.
Yeah, I'm seeing. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait.
3, 2, 1. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Teenager Therapy. I'm Gael.
I'm Thomas.
I'm Kayla.
And welcome back to Teenager Therapy in New York.
New setup.
Very new setup. If you're watching the video, you'll notice we are not in the Teenager Therapy room. A lot of people don't know this. If you're new here, it's not a set. It's Thomas's home.
It's my bedroom. I sleep there.
People think it's a set. It isn't. And this is not a set either.
Do you ever feel weird sleeping in your room?
Not really.
Okay. I'm glad.
No, yeah, because it was my room first.
And then the studio.
Well, this is our Airbnb now. We're in this big city trying to figure out our way here. We've been here for 5 days now. So it's definitely been an adjustment getting used to everything. And also, a funny thing, the last episode you heard was basically it came out on my birthday. And this episode is, we're filming it June 5th. So my birthday's in a couple days and I'm turning 20, which you guys know is going to be a big thing, but we'll talk about that later. But a thing that comes with turning 20 is entering this area of your life where you're exposed to so much more of the world. You meet so many new people. It's an area when you start moving out and you start really exploring what the world has to offer. And I think it's very fitting that we're in New York while entering that era of us entering our 20s. Because if you know, we've talked about this on the podcast, that it's weird being in your hometown and having the same group of people and that feeling you get of wanting to enter new social bubbles, enter people that get you. And if there's ever been a possibility to find people that get you, I feel like it has to be here, right? In this big, big city. So what are you guys thinking about meeting people? Are you looking forward to meeting people while here? Is that something we're actively trying to do?
It's on our bucket list. Talk to strangers.
Yes.
And I mean, just like what you were saying, I think we get really trapped in our circles at home. And especially now that we're entering our 20s, it doesn't feel right to still be at home and still hang around like the same circles that we have been for several years. So being here in New York, it's exciting because there's so much possibility and just a lot of people and things to experience.
Yeah, I'm excited to meet people, but a part of me doesn't know how I should go about it. Like if I see somebody on TikTok and I see in their bio, like, oh, from New York, do I just reach out to them then and there?
It feels weird.
Yeah, right. It can feel weird.
I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast, but so for my birthday, my plan was I want to invite a bunch of people I've never met before, but I've only seen on the internet. And I know that you live in New York that I think are cool. And then host a big birthday dinner where I have an excuse to gather people. And I still really want to do that because I think what's so fascinating for me is the fact that it's so difficult to get out of your social bubble. You meet someone and you think you have nothing in common. You talk to them for a little bit. You're like, oh, you know them. I know them through this and this. And you're somehow connected, which is cool. It's like a cool feeling of, you know, you kind of have some resemblance of each other's lives. But I really want to know how you get out of those social bubbles because that's more difficult than you might expect. And I think you notice it even more now than ever because you go on Instagram, and this isn't even just a problem in like the dating world where you go on Instagram and you see everyone has mutuals with one another and that kind of puts you off a little bit. But even just being friends with people and knowing that you all know each other, do you guys like that or do you not?
I've said this before, but it feels weird for me to be friends with somebody else's friend. Like your friend, you're like, oh, you should really hang out with him. I think you guys would get along. But for some reason, I'm kind of put off by the idea that he's your friend already. And I kind of want my own group of friends that you guys don't know, if that makes sense.
Oh, okay. So just like your own thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if that means I'm possessive. I just feel weird.
No, I get the same feeling.
Because I think sometimes if you know that this person is friends with, like, Guile, for example, in this case, then you feel a certain need to put on, like, a specific persona or, like, cater to them specifically because they know Guile.
I'm just scared of feeling like I'm stealing their friend. That's my reasoning for it. That's why I don't like, you know, when... I guess it's a good thing, and I don't know how this works. I think most people are quote-unquote normal, and they just become friends with each other's friends, and you all know each other. But for me, I feel like every time I make a friendship and I connect with people, there needs to be, like, a clean slate. Like, they don't know anyone near me, they don't know anyone around me, or else it just doesn't feel like they're my friend.
Like, yes and no. I think, but talking about the mutuals thing, that's something that would really bother me, specifically when, like, dating. I would hate seeing, like, mutuals that I have with the person. And so I'm really excited for here. If I were to find a mutual with somebody random, I would be very, very surprised. So I like knowing that nobody else knows this person, and I just get them. Maybe that is being possessive.
Why do we know that, though?
Because I was about to bring that up. Yeah. If I have a lot of mutuals with this one person, I don't want them anymore.
Like, yeah. I hate to say it sometimes, but it's true. Because I don't know. I don't know if it's possessive or just wanting a clean slate. I don't know, but it's what I prefer.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about it that puts me off. I think I just feel... Maybe there's a sense of protection and trying to protect myself because it things spread quickly. And so maybe there's a sense of danger in that if you know a lot of people and something goes wrong, then it affects more of your social bubble. And so when you meet someone that's completely removed from your outside bubble, there's less consequences to something going wrong, which also feels like there's more freedom because you can be yourself even more so without the pressure of feeling like if they don't like me and they think I'm weird, they're going to tell this person who's going to tell this person, and your whole social bubble will know. And I think that's what puts me off about the idea of mutuals.
You know, I actually thought about something like that. I was thinking earlier, like, what if I go on a date and it ends badly? Who are they going to tell? I'm like, I don't know those people. Exactly. So it doesn't really affect me.
Exactly.
So it's like, yeah, I guess in that sense, protection and just knowing that it won't circle back to me. It's just, that's it.
That's why it's so attractive when you find someone who doesn't have a social media presence. They don't follow anyone. They don't really have followers. They don't post. They're private.
So then again, is social media making us paranoid then? And is that the reason why so many of Gen Z feel lonely? It's because there's such a paranoia about what you can reveal, how true to yourself you can be, and how you can't. Because it's not even about just portraying yourself online and your digital persona. It's also knowing that if you connect with people digitally and then you bring those connections into the real world, there's that scaredness of being your authentic self because the repercussions of how quickly things can spread because of your mutuals. So are you more yourself when you know you're completely removed?
I think so. But even then, like, bringing a connection from digital to personal versus just starting off personal, I think regardless, there's going to be a little bit of a filter. But I think that's just from my own personal experience. I think I would be more inclined to be more myself if it just happened, like, organically on the street or whatever. But even then, I say that and I'm like thinking some stranger comes up to me and is like, hey, you're cool, like, let's be friends. I feel like a part of me would have a little guard up because it just doesn't happen and I'm not used to it. And so it's like catches me off guard, even though it's something that ideally I would want. But once it's there, I sort of reject it. So I can't win.
You see, that's moral of the story, thing.
I can't win.
No, that's the thing. There's paranoia. So the thing about social media is that it's a double-edged sword in the way that, one, it has made everyone more connected, but it's also removed a lot of the connection that would typically happen in person. And what that's done is previous generations, that was the norm, to connect in real life first and then digitally. Now it's connect digitally and then in real life. And so you see how many young people crave those, that spontaneity of just go up to someone and talk to them and figure out what there is about them. But then the paranoia of, is that weird? Are they a weird person? What do they want from me? Because we're not used to.
Because you always need to stalk their Instagram page and like know everything before you could actually do something with them.
So then you can tailor what you say to what they like.
Exactly. But it's also funny that we say we want people to have no mutuals. But do you think that's also a red flag?
No.
Like in a way, it's kind of like a signal of safety to know there's mutuals. Do you get it?
I know what you mean. But I think the cons outweigh the pros in this case. Like, I wouldn't want them to have mutuals with me.
It depends.
I want no connection.
Like, okay, so when I meet someone, and let's say I meet someone, like,
I feel like it's different because when it comes to at least gay people, they all know each other somehow, some way. They just do. So,
but in like, I guess in friendship specifically, something that I want to do while I'm here is make more of an effort to talk to people just in person without, you know, just going up to strangers, making conversation. I think it's easier in a city like this because there's more, there's a closer proximity to everyone versus being separated by cars. Because I think when you're in a car-centric city like LA, there's a weird mindset shift of going from your personal space in the car to the personal public space. You're still, unless you like make that switch, most people are still in their own bubble. But in New York, it feels like you're automatically placed on this like outside bubble that you enter. So it's a lot. People are more open to talking. So I really want to try to do that, of talking to more people, because I don't know. Like we've said, we talk about it all the time about wanting physical connection and wanting to actually talk to people. So I think we should actually try to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on the bucket list, so it has to be completed.
It has to be.
Or else something bad will happen.
It's just so unnatural. I mean, it's already weird to come up to someone and be like, hey, like, I think you're cute and stuff, but...
What about friendships?
Yeah, or even just to, like, exchange socials. It's funny because every time I go out and stuff, or I have, like, a nice little exchange with someone, like, new, we immediately exchange our socials. Like, that's how it goes.
Do you sometimes hesitate exchanging socials because you think it's gonna change their perception of you?
Well, yeah, because now all of my information is available to them, so now they're gonna build this impression about who I am, and there goes that like organic and natural like chemistry.
Exactly. No, I feel the same way. We were talking about this literally a few hours ago, where if somebody asks us, somebody that we don't know, they ask for our IG, we feel more hesitant to share because obviously they can see, you know, we have a podcast. They can look at the podcast. They can look at the clips. They can listen to full episodes, which is even scarier and more of a daunting thought. And so I think I'm hesitant to share mine as well because I've seen it before where I give them my Instagram and I can see in their eyes a switch where they're like, oh, wow.
Their eyes kind of widen. And then they go silent for a little bit. Yeah.
They're registering everything. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, damn. Well, it was nice, like, knowing you for this sweet, like, little period. And because so
then it's like, now they're intimidated.
It creates a power dynamic sometimes without, like, it just happens.
Yeah.
I think because the other person, or just in general, in today's society, you feel so cringe saying that sometimes, but you know, people equate more followers with like more success, or like they're just cooler, or they have a big social circle and whatnot. But sometimes that's just not the case. I have more followers because of the podcast, and so I think whenever people see that, they just have an immediate image of me, and sometimes it can make it harder for them to like reach out because they think I'm an intimidating figure now, which I'm really not. So it's kind of hard.
I just remember followers were such a big thing. I mean, it still kind of is, but not to the same extent. Now it's like it's embarrassing to try to have as many followers and or even to try on social media, but then people just try way too hard to look like they're not trying. which I think is funny, but
I know it just feels like regardless of whatever, like before it'd be, you know, posting trips and travel and all this, and now it's more like casual and laid back. But even that is not casual and laid back.
I just think
so
that
it's like I can't.
It's impossible, or at least to me, it feels impossible to be on social media without performing somewhat. Like at the end of the day, you're posting for this audience to see, and you want them to have this certain perspective or like impression of you. So even if you're posting something as little as like your food for the day, your thought is like, wait, what are people gonna think about this? And it's just silly.
So you think you create your post to curate an image of you?
Even when I think I don't, I do. Like, it's weird. Like I like to think that, oh no, like I don't really care. I'm posting for myself. I'm posting to like keep everyone updated or just to show my friends. But even in those posts, I'm always gonna think like in the back of my head, what is everybody gonna think of this? Is everyone gonna like this? Did I pick the right song for my story? Like stuff like that. It's stupid, but it just happens.
I agree. I think I've started to try to use social media and Instagram and such to build just, I think it's like a public diary more than anything. And it's like, it is curated. And there is such a weird negativity or stigma surrounding wanting to curate social media. But that's the whole point. It's a curation. Yeah. It's a journal of self-expression. So it's odd to me when people say, you're not supposed to use this platform that's meant for self-expression to express yourself because that's weird. So what do you want to express? And so I think Gen Z tends to go in circles about, should you try? Should you not try? What looks better? What is more appealing? And it's like, you can try as much as you want. That's the whole point. And so I use social media as a way to quickly catch people up on my life. But what's interesting is, is social media allowing us to handle more connections because there's less explaining to do and more context available readily whenever you meet someone new? And is that helping us make more or less friends? Maybe it's helping us make more basic connections, but less meaningful connections. I don't know the psychology behind how quality time and the slow discoverability of someone's personality affects the depth of your friendship. And if there's a negative effect of kind of instantly being exposed to an entire person's life all at once, because that didn't exist in previous generations. Is there research that shows maybe that might be a negative thing? I don't know. I could imagine it there being, but it's just an interesting implication of social media that you give people access, like you explode information all over them as soon as you give them your Instagram. So are we making decisions quicker, and is that good for us?
I think we make decisions quicker, but just based again on selected information that the person wants you to know or wants people to think like of a certain image. So you make decisions quicker, but I think they're more rash and not as well thought out. Whereas if you meet them in person and you like actually have a conversation about these things, they can get more details and background and such. But I don't know, it's just, there's too much information out there. I mean, especially on the podcast too. It's like our whole life is on here, which is, I mean, it's cool.
But also people usually don't want to listen to it. Like if you meet someone new, friends usually tell me, oh, cool, you have a podcast, but I haven't listened to it because I'd rather just hear it from you.
That's interesting because I think all of our friends have listened to it. I was just about to say,
it's the opposite for us.
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
For us, all the experiences I've had, it's always, I'd rather hear from you. What is going on at USC?
I don't know.
I mean, at a school like USC, I think your social media and just your like reputation, it just matters so much more for dumb reasons. But yeah, everyone listens. And
interesting.
It's harder to make genuine friends there just because as soon as they see the podcast, they kind of make their own judgment of who we are. And there's no need to really find out how we actually are. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's weird, too, because sometimes on the podcast, like, I'm sure last episode I said something that I don't I disagree with now, or I think is like stupid, or I'm just like, why did I say that? And so just thinking back, like if they listen to older episodes, I'm just like, you are listening to a different person. It's not me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like even 3 weeks ago, I'm sure like there's a difference.
That's so interesting though, because you guys have a big, I don't know what the right word, this big worry about people misinterpreting who you are as a person, and I don't really understand why.
I think you just know yourself a little more, and this is just a problem that I've always had, where I don't know who I am and I'm constantly trying to figure that out, and it doesn't help that everyone is watching me try and fail at this. So I don't know. I think for you, you've always just like have had this confidence and self-confidence that like, oh, this is who I am, this is what I'm into. And like, yes, you have changed, but at the same time, you've always been very much yourself, I feel like.
So then do you think, I mean, I agree that there's a lot of things that I've said in the past that I don't necessarily believe now, but I mean, I like to use social media to represent who I am in that moment, in that second. And
I think another thing is that we're in college, and I think that as soon as we graduate, social media and like posting and all of that, it's just going to be a lot less stressful, because I remember like, it's just like the audience, it changes. Like, I don't post for the people I went to high school with anymore. Like, do you guys get that? Like, I don't post for them. Like, they're not in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's, like, this new group, and it's the people at college. And then now my thinking is that as soon as I'm done with college, these people that I go to school with, that I'm constantly surrounded by, I won't have to worry about them anymore.
But then do you think like, well, then you're going to have to find a new audience?
That's what I'm, yeah.
I'm like, at what point do you just post for yourself?
But I like to think that like, since Gael is like not in school, it seems like he does a better job of just like, oh, like my audience is just, because he doesn't have this like place or this like institution where he's constantly at and surrounded by
the audience in question.
Yeah, like yeah, the same people. So he's just speaking and posting and just expressing himself to this like wide, great, big audience that he can't really see. And for us, like, we see the audience. Like, they're sitting right next to me in class.
Have you ever thought of, like, maybe really limiting the amount of people that you follow from school?
Oh, I've done that.
And it's still, you just feel that pressure.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that.
Yeah. I mean, I really been wanting to take a break from social media. Like, especially during this past school year, it was just way too much. I hated it so much. But for some reason, even though I wasn't posting, I couldn't completely get rid of it. It just felt wrong to not be connected.
And also another aspect is that like, you've had social media since you were in fourth grade.
I know.
And you've cared about, like, you've genuinely put an effort into curating feed and everything. And so
as embarrassing as it is, yes.
No, yeah. I mean, it's a big part of your life. Yeah. I really do think so.
I feel like it's a big part of most of our generation. Like, we've grown up.
I agree, but I think yours is like very specific. Like, I just remember your old feed from like elementary, middle school. I'd be like, wow, like he's really trying at this. And which is like, okay, because I know it's important to you, which is why I'm saying like, I don't think I could ever see you like fully just ghost, like being ghost on social media.
I don't know. I think that like social media just naturally became such a big part of like my life, because again, people cared about it. Like, everyone was like putting effort into their feeds, and I remember like looking up to people like Connor Franta and stuff, and it was just like, oh, like feed like aesthetic, and you have to be this really artsy person. But at the same time, like, I also think that I use social media as a way of self-expression, and like at the time that is how I express myself. Like, even though yes, it's like very aesthetic and like very artsy, that was like who I am. Like that is who I am. So at the same time, all of these things that I put out, it's still me. It's just, it gets complicated when there's an audience and there's people who are watching you do it and like perceiving you.
No, I get that. Sometimes I feel like maybe if I don't, because me, I'm not very.
I remember I forced you to make an Instagram like I remember. Sophomore year.
I remember. Yeah. In bio, I think. No, I know. I was very late to the whole like social media thing. And I think a part of me was just hesitant to start it because it just felt like a competition on there. Like everybody was trying to outdo each other's posts, or it felt like there were rules and restrictions to it that were imaginary, but also everybody knew is like taboo.
Yeah.
It's taboo rules. I'm just like, well, I don't know if I would want that.
Yeah.
But I ended up getting it because I was like, well, I need to get it one day. And so, I mean, since then, I wasn't really the type to be like posting a lot. And a lot of it went back to just like, it felt like I was restricted just from the moment it was created. Because I think in a way, social media is just that. It just has its restrictions in the sense of what's aesthetic, what's not aesthetic. And it's just, it can be a lot sometimes. And so even now, I'm not the type to be posting a lot because I just feel like limited in a way. And I know it's like my own thinking, like, yes, I'm placing these restrictions on myself. Yes, whatever. But sometimes it's just like, I don't see the worth in it sometimes. If I, especially because I see the way that it affects my other friends as well and how much they care about their posts and like, you know, getting the right picture and all this. And I'm just like, I don't want it to affect me that bad. And I feel like if I start posting consistently, or if I make a, you know, genuine, consistent effort at it, then it would affect the way that I perceive myself and other people.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly what happened with me. It's like, there were these expectations that people already placed because it was like this very cool thing at the time. Like, it was the very beginning of Instagram and everyone was doing it. And as soon as like, I guess I was just naturally very good at just like posting or like knowing what photos to take and stuff. And so from the very start, fourth grade me, like there were, it was a job. I had expectations to fulfill. And it just kind of kept on growing and growing. And it has gone to this point where now it's just way too overwhelming. And I still care, but it's getting to that point where I really don't have the energy to care anymore. Like, I really don't.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, especially being here, like, I want to post about things. Like, who cares about these fucking, like, invisible rules? And that goes back to, like, the whole, like, you know, the aesthetic now is, like, oh, you don't care. You're like mysterious. You're cool. Yeah. Like simple pictures. And you take a simple picture and it's like, no, that one doesn't look good. Or that one's not going to fit like the vibe or whatever. And so, again, it's just like what's good and what's not. And I know ultimately it's like whatever you want to post. But again, it's just like the limits that you feel.
I think it just comes with confidence. See, I think you need a lot of self-confidence to use social media in a healthy way. And maybe that's why teens struggle with it. Because I listen to you guys speak and I truly just don't feel a lot of those same pressures. I do at times. There's definitely been a lot of times where I'm like, ooh, is this too much? Is this too little? But at the end of the day, it's like, too bad. You know, I want to post it. This is what I want to do. As long as I feel good about it, I'm going to post it. And it's fun. It's a journal. It's a public journal. I love the idea of social media because it's a public journal that's going to live on the internet for as long as Instagram lives. I love the fact that I have 5 years of my life recorded. I like recording everything. I like preserving memories. And social media is just a creative outlet for me. I get to post about stories. I get to write about them. I get to take a picture. And that's fun. It's just not fun when you are... I could see why it's so much less fun when you're filled with insecurities and limits in your head and you're overthinking and it just becomes this pressure.
Yeah.
But besides
I feel like as soon as... Or not as soon, but I kind of look at it as a scrapbook.
Mm-hmm.
And now I like it. You know what I mean? It's just a documentation of my life at this time. And
because if there was a feature, if I could turn off who sees it and I could totally never see like who's seeing it or who's watching it, I'd be posting even more freely.
Can't you do that?
You could
that's
still
for the comments.
You could prevent people from seeing how many people have liked it and stuff, and you can prevent people from commenting, but fully turning off who has viewed it, how many people have viewed it, and at that point you start to very quickly forget there's an audience that's watching it. Very, very quickly.
Yeah.
It only freaks me out when I spend too much time looking at all the people that watch. That's what I have noticed. I try not to look at who has seen it, because if I dig too much, I'm like, oh, this person's more of a professional contact. Ooh, this one's more of a friend. Ooh, this one's more of like a person that might be into me. They all have very different expectations. And of course, we started to fill our mind with whose expectations did we want to meet with this post? Was this for the professional followers? Was this for the friend followers? Was this for the ones that might have a relationship with? And that's when it gets overwhelming, because you don't know who you're posting for. And if you're trying to post for everyone, you can't post for anyone, and you just get in your head. And so as soon as you stop focusing on who you're posting, and like everyone's been saying, posting for yourself, it really does help.
I think just like knowing that you don't have to prove to anyone like who you are, like that you're this cool or mysterious person, then you can just post for yourself. And I think that for me, it's hard to feel that way in college.
I could see it was the same thing in high school.
It's like if you're in school and you're surrounded by like these social groups constantly, then yes, you're gonna have to find a way to prove yourself. And that's why I'm hoping after college it'll be just like not a problem anymore. But I don't know.
Yeah, but I think another thing too is like reminding myself that the people that follow me because they like me.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to like they know me to a certain extent. So it's like I don't necessarily need to play up who I am or, you know, try to prove something. It's like a lot of them are from the podcast, so they know already a lot of information about me and my personality and how I think. So, you know, they're just like long distance friends.
Yeah. I just have this weird habit of just assuming that everyone is out to like get me or like hate me just because everyone is so judgmental. Like if you go on TikTok or Instagram today, people are so judgmental. Like they like to think that Gen Z is so like accepting and like, oh, like there's no bullying, whatever. But like, I don't know. I don't know if you've really been on there, because people are ruthless and it's sad.
I think
and that makes me scared. Mm-hmm. Like,
no, I get that. I think now it's a different type of bullying. Whereas before, bullying would be painted as like some kid like coming up to you and like taking your lunch money or like pushing you around. And now it's just like leaving snide comments in a like TikTok.
And
I
think like, oh, it's just my opinion.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I have my right.
Or they
to
put
my
like
opinion.
Little funny emojis, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's okay because they're just joking. It's like
now it's just very subtle and backhanded,
which is even worse sometimes.
Yeah, it is.
It's no longer a physical game; it's a mind game. They play it. That's very true. That's very, very true.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. Okay. Well, that's gonna be interesting to navigate. I mean, we will keep you guys updated on who we meet while we're in this city
and how we meet them.
How we meet.
Yeah.
Them. You gotta have your conversation starters ready.
My conversation starter is, I compliment their outfit. That has gotten me very far in the past.
Yeah.
And usually I'm like, oh, like, where do you go to school? Blah, blah, blah. And then boom. But then we exchange socials and that's when the connection dies. So maybe it's like, can I get your number? That's what I'm going to change. I'm going to ask for their number and not their Instagram.
That's so grown.
And we have the perfect excuse of, I'm new to the city. Can you show me around?
Exactly.
People love
showing
people
around. Dude, I've asked like 10 people to show me around. Like at this point, I'm going to know this.
You're going to be getting shown around.
All areas.
Yeah.
You're going to have mutuals soon.
Yeah.
And the perfect place is like the subway. People are stopped. There's no connection, nothing to do but talk to people. So I want that energy a little bit more. I love when older people talk to me because I'm just like, you're so brave. You're so inspiring. I want to be like you. Like I was on the plane. This older gentleman was like, what are you working on? Because I was like on my journal doing, he's like, what you writing? And I was like, oh, it was so funny. You could just ask people what they're doing and people will tell you. Like, who would have thought? So
I love when the older like generations make conversation. Like they do it so naturally and like genuinely.
Because that's how,
like,
they grew up. That is how they grew up.
It's not like, it's natural to them.
That's
it's
what just, you were supposed to exactly. do. There was no other way of meeting people. Yeah. You kind of just had to be like, what you guys doing?
What you up to?
What are you
what
up
you
to?
Doing over there?
So
can I join?
Let's go ask people what they're up to. I'm actually really excited for that. I'm really excited. I love talking to strangers. I love meeting people. Like I said in the beginning, just the concept of entering completely new social bubbles and being shown world completely outside your own is so fun. It's so fun because you never know where you end up, what people show you, what people, you know.
But you think the idea of like talking to strangers and just going up to them, you think you would be able to do that at home as well?
It's just harder because it's not a walkable city. That's the key. I need like to be in the headspace because when I'm at home, I'm in my own bubble and I shut the world out. But here, I feel like I'm in the world and I'm in it.
I'm just scared of like creeping someone out or like someone's like going to reject me. You know what I mean? Like you're going to like...
Rejection
like,
therapy.
I know. Yeah, I know. You won't know unless you try. So I have to be open to that possibility of someone just being like, no, you can't have my number. I don't want to hang out. And I'm like, oh.
Which is also fair.
Yeah, it's sadly. Fair. It's fair. But is that like fear that like makes me reluctant to try and meet people? But, you know, it's a new city. And I think that we're all going to be making the effort.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm really excited.
Well, if you're in New York and you see us around,
Say hi. Ask us what we're doing.
And ask for our numbers.
Yes. Reject the mutualification of our entire generation.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do. But anyways, let's see what the poll should be. Ooh, in the comment section, what's somewhere we should try, go, and do while we're in New York? So if you know of your really favorite spot that you're like, you have to do it, put it in the comment section if you're listening on Spotify. I say comment section. It's like the Q&A version. And for the poll, what should be the poll?
We covered so many things that I'm
oh
like...
Oh my gosh.
I'm not sure.
Do you like when people have mutuals or no mutuals? Because I'm curious what makes you feel safer and more comfortable. Anyways, thank you all so much for listening. And we'll see you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.